As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey, it's Sam Amick from The Athletic, and you can listen to me, Fred Katz, and Anthony Slater break down the inside story of what is happening in the NBA. Latest news, trades, signings, all of the above. Latest action on the floor. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Athletic NBA Show and listen to Tampering every Tuesday.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show Monday through Friday
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
You know, getting back to 100%. It's impossible. I don't think I will ever get back to 100% of my career.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang! Yeah.
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Most of it. Most of it.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. Dave DeFore is here. Javon Edwards is here. Jay King is here. And on this lovely Sunday afternoon, we got like a week left of the NBA season as we record this. And gentlemen, that means we've got the play-in tournament. One of the most brilliant additions to the NBA schedule we've ever had, because it's all anyone can talk about at this point in the season. And so it looks like it couldn't be more star-studded. Like last year, we got it thrown in there for the, like, hey, we know we're losing some games, so we'll make up for, you know, this by, if you're the nine seed, you're going to get a chance to make the playoffs still because we missed some games. And we had like a solid debut of it with Portland and Memphis. Like, it was fine, right? Dame comes through, they win.
Yeah, that was electric.
That was fun.
A great game.
It was fun.
Yeah.
This year, though, it's screw that little Dame versus Ja Morant thing. We're getting a showdown, it looks like, of LeBron versus Steph Curry for the seventh seed. And I don't know if you can make the play-in tournament any more star-studded than that. Like, that's the way to go, dude. If you're going to really bang this out.
Look, you know how I feel about it. I would have been setting this up all year. Now, they just happened to luck into it.
Well, and I hate to say that, because Dave. Well, maybe they
Yeah,
have.
You know. Hey, ankle injuries do really take a long time, especially high ankle sprains. So I don't want to, you know, imply that there's a little bit of shenanigans happening here. But it has worked out wonderfully. And you're right, man. As somebody who kind of hated the idea at first because I felt like it was just going to further cheapen a cheap regular season, this fucking rules. It's awesome.
See? I'm going the other way.
It's awesome. No. Of course. Awesome.
Jay, what the fuck?
Jay doesn't like fun.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. From a fun standpoint, yes, absolutely. You are correct. That will be an exciting game. It will be a game with huge stakes on the line. Watching Steph try to unseat the Lakers and end Anthony Davis and LeBron James' season will be awesome to watch.
Them try to overcome, I mean, they're clearly not going to be 100%. I mean, it's a very compelling story either direction. You know, I think if LeBron can gut it out and have a crazy performance, that adds to the legacy of LeBron, I think.
I mean, I'm not going to go so far.
It's cool.
LeBron's legacy will be better if he beats Juan Toscano Anderson in the play-in.
Man, this is how you need to go, bro. You have to win the play-in tournament too. I think this helps ratings. I think this is too good to be true.
See, this is the NBA's worst nightmare, I think.
You're crazy, Jay.
Because now they're talking about what's happening right now.
Like, there's six games left, and we care about every game, Jay. That just doesn't happen.
Dave, don't listen. I want to just say listen over and over.
The NBA is at risk of losing either LeBron James or Stephen Curry. Imagine if neither of those guys is in the first round and the Spurs are in it because they had the play-in tournament.
Creating Nikola Jokic or the Wizards instead of the Celtics.
The loser gets to play for the eighth seed. Like, they're like, it's not win or go home.
I think they're both. I think we're getting the best of both worlds, right? I think if that's the 7-8 game, the other team is going to win the next game, and you're going to get both of. Not only do you get the head to head matchup, you're probably going to wind up getting both of them in the playoffs in a series anyway.
I'm just saying, there's a chance for the NBA's nightmare situation, which is losing Steph in the first round for the San Antonio Spurs. That would be tough.
A one-off is actually a good thing, though, right? Like, so, like, a one-off upset is great. Like, we all love the rare occasions where an 8 beats a 1. What you don't want is what hockey gets, where 8 beats 1 every year. You know, like, so you got to avoid that. I'm with you there, Jay, but I don't think you're anywhere close to that. The NBA has so much star power right now. It's nuts. And I think that this is an opportunity for other guys to get highlighted a little bit. LeBron's not going to be around forever. I know that it doesn't feel like that sometimes, but the truth is the NBA really needs these other guys to be able to get highlighted a little bit. So it's not the worst thing in the world. And I think that them lucking into this LeBron versus Steph matchup is, I mean, that's free money. It really is. It's worked out in every single way.
Yeah. I just, for one, I don't see the Warriors beating these guys. And it makes, obviously, the Lakers' job a little bit harder. Not harder, but, like, extends it. You know what I mean? Extends the work, obviously. Yeah. But overall, these two can't shake each other. Like, I feel like Steph's really his true rival. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how it plays out. And, like, that they have to see each other. Like, you know, like, he's like, yo, I went to the West, like, obviously for other teams to handle my light work. And now I still have to see this dude, you know, despite a season that was supposed to be thrown away, you know. I love the format, but then you got those teams that are kind of just there that could potentially come in and, you know, and still be around. And it's kind of weird to consume that on both sides where you look at it and like, do we care about these other teams that are in the mix?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I don't know, man.
Nobody wants to see San Antonio or Indiana on either side of this bracket, all right?
But think about this, though, Zach. I know that you can appreciate this. Is Greg Popovich coaching a super young team and DeMar DeRozan? Like, that, I think that that's cool. And maybe you don't want him to play in a series against the Jazz.
I'd rather Zion be there.
But I think for the play-in purposes, I think that one game that San Antonio, or maybe two, that they're likely to play, tops, I think that's pretty good storytelling for the league.
It's
not as good as Zion, but, you know, the Pelicans suck. So, you know, you got to actually win the games. And the Spurs have been better. They still suck. They're 32-35 right now. But they've been better than the Pelicans. They've won more games. So, I don't know. I love the play-in. And I love the Spurs.
I'm with Dave, too. On the Spurs, and then also Ja.
I'm super excited for Ja.
Self-proclaims, you know, he's the top 5 point guard in this league. He's exciting. He's fun to watch. Kind of not in a skill set, but Iverson-esque, like as far as, you know what I mean, excitement and small guard just doing big heart plays.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, I can't really go wrong on the west side, but the east side, man, I don't know.
Yo, there's a chance we could get a Hornets Pacers 9-10. Like, not a great chance, but there's still a chance we could get a Hornets Pacers 9-10. And look, I love me some LaMelo Ball. I don't know if I can watch that game. I don't know if that's gonna be a little bit more difficult
because Nate the Parker only team I really care that about from that 7-10 stretch is Washington, you know? Like, that's it. I just really want to see Washington and Boston go at it.
I want to see Russ go into the garden, go into the new garden and go and try to, like, ruin their days.
Russ in the play-in tournament is going to be fantastic.
Oh, it's going to be.
There's so much star power in this thing. Like, I'm just sitting here looking at all these teams. There's, you know, if you're counting the play-in teams as playoff teams, there's 20 playoff teams right now. And the Pacers are probably the least interesting one as far as, like, guys on the court. And they also have the craziest off-court stuff happening right now. This is, I mean, this is just gold for the league.
It's great. Yeah. And as we saw today,
I think Mark Stein tweeted, like, all the guys who could play in the play-in tournament. And it was eye-opening to see all
loaded
the guys.
Loaded with Hall of Famers. Yeah. And, I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Jay, you know who's not going to be on that list? Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Buckets. And whatever the fuck that new haircut for Tyler Hero was.
Yo, that's a tough
haircut.
Lloyd
Christmas.
The Lloyd special.
It really is the Lloyd Christmas. You stole my joke from the group chat and said it in the podcast.
Do you know that I didn't? I had the group chat muted and I went in after. Also, I promise.
Yeah, Jay, no offense. Like,
it's about obvious.
1,000 people on Twitter made that joke.
I'm just saying, you can't steal what a guy texts to the group and use it in the podcast.
100% leverage the chat.
You don't have a group not chat with 8 people that in it before. That's not muted. I'm sorry. That's psychopath behavior.
Text etiquette is kind of intense, you know, as far as like who joke is which. But
smirching my character, Jay.
You got punk. You had plenty of
chances. Plenty of chances, Jay, to bring that up. That's on you.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Jay, what happened in today's game as we're recording this? Like the Heat stomped him in the first half. There was a comeback effort that was pretty spirited. But what happened?
I mean, the Celtics have given up 70 points in the first half in 3 of their last 5 games.
Damn.
They gave up 79 points in the first half of what ultimately amounted to as close to a playoff game as you can get with 5 games left in the regular season. Their defense has just taken long stretches off. And some of it, like, Trevor Ariza got hot. But, like, they are consistently giving up 70-point halves.
What's wrong with Marcus Smart? What's going on with Marcus Smart? Is he banged up?
The whole team has kind of just gone through lapses and stretches. And, yeah, Smart hasn't been playing up to his normal defensive standard. So, but it's not just him. It's the whole team. They just have long stretches where they're just... Oh. It's gross. And it's weird because Brad Stevens' teams have always defended no matter what, who's on the court. Right. But this year they're giving up tons of threes. They're giving up, like, teams are just raining fire on them. Dribble penetration's too easy. It's been bad. And they cleaned it up for a while, but now, you know, like there's no excuse to get clapped by 20 by the Bulls in a game you have to have for playoff positioning and then give up 79 points to the Heat in a game that you know could decide your fate and whether you go in the play-in tournament. Like, it's just this. It's been weird to see them just fail to rise to the occasion when they have really a lot on the line in some of these games.
Well, I'm curious. Like, do you think Marcus Smart can defend up to his capabilities? Just in the sense that, like, the rest of the team is such a mess that I feel like he's kind of got to cover. Or he's trying to cover defensively for a lot of things, and then it kind of pulls him out of sorts. Like, I wonder if he even could be at his defensive best right now with the way the rest of the team is defending.
Yeah, and I think some of it is just that, like, they're really small. Marcus Smart can guard a lot of guys, but he's still 6'3". He's next to Kemba Walker, who's 6 feet. They play Peyton Pritchard. They play a lot of wings. They don't have any, like, supersized centers. Their power forward is usually Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. And so, like, they are a very small team, and when you're small, you have to be sharp in all your rotations. And for whatever reason, they just haven't been. And I think they have a lot of excuses individually. They've all played through a lot of injuries. A number of their better players have had COVID and come back and complained, not complained, but just explained how much it's impacted them for a while. But like, they just have not been sharp enough to overcome their lack of size. And they were last year. Like, that was their thing last year.
I mean, what do you think they're going to do in the playoffs? Are you expecting, I mean, a lot of Tristan Thompson? I don't know. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think when they get to the playoffs, like, their playoff rotation should be pretty good. If they're all healthy, and that's a question right now because Robert Williams is banged up. He's got turf toe, which can really linger. Sounds like his status will be day-to-day for the rest of the regular season at least. And then Jaylen Brown has a sprained ankle. But if they can get there healthy, they'll be pretty good. They added Fournier. He's been better lately since having a really tough time coming back from COVID. And if you bring him off the bench and play him 30 minutes and you're playing Kemba, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown close to 40 minutes, and then your two centers are Robert Williams and Tristan Thompson, then that's a pretty good playoff rotation. But like, with Williams hurt, they really are missing Daniel Tice, who they salary dumped at the deadline. You know, they're playing Luke Kornet as their backup center, and
he hasn't. I still think that was a dumb move,
Jay. Yeah, was tough. But the tax, I get it for the tax, but to set yourself up in a position where you have to dump a good player from a playoff team just goes, it shows a lack of planning and foresight,
right?
That I think has come back to haunt the Celtics in some ways. But they, I mean, if they can get healthy and be locked in, but those are two real questions right now for them. It's ridiculous to me that they played as poorly as they did against the Bulls and then followed that up with the first half they had against Miami and really what were two games they needed to escape the play-in tournament. Like, they're very likely to play in the play-in tournament now, and which means they could miss the playoffs entirely, which would be a massive failure from where they were entering the season.
I guess it's like, you know, at this point, maybe nothing should surprise me. I'd be pretty shocked if they didn't win at least one of them games in the play-in tournament to make the eighth seed, right?
But here's the thing. The Hornets are tough to play against, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's actually a bad matchup for Boston,
because they're big and physical.
Yeah, like
they can beat you.
They can do a lot of things.
And if you catch them on a night when they're hitting threes, they're really tough to stop.
Yeah.
They play super hard. So in that way, like, if you're not locked in, they'll run you off the court. And then let's say they lose to the Hornets once, and then they get the Wizards, who have won, 16 out of 20? You get the hottest team in the Eastern Conference.
And you're playing worst defense.
It's feasible for them to lose to and miss the playoffs. It's certainly not out of the question.
I'm refusing. They can't possibly. They got it.
I would have thought they couldn't give up 79 points in the first half. But.
Yeah, but that's your NBA finalist right there. That's your defending Eastern Conference champions you're going up against, you know? See, culture, baby. All they do is score buckets.
They look great in the first half.
Trey, what did you think of the Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns exchange that was heard over the rim mics? Where he was called
my young boy.
He was called him soft, and then Cat saying call Rachel Nichols was hilarious to me. I did like that. That's funny. Yeah,
that was funny.
That's funny, but then, you know, Jimmy gets to come back over the top with, I already punked your ass once. Like, what'd you think?
As the younger Edward said, that's grown folks' business. You feel me? Like, that's just what happens in between them lines, you know. Shouts to whoever asked that question, though, because I mean, they had to do their job. Yeah. But, you know, overall, I mean, it was good. You know what I mean? Like, we got to stop, you know, looking at it as frowning upon trash talk and taunting as bad. Like, it's so needed that right now in the game. It'll make the game so soft. And, like, you want guys, most people want guys to be buddy-buddy or get mad when they buddy-buddy, don't know what they really want. And I think that was good. It ain't like he said nothing disrespectful.
Yeah,
he's just
exactly.
Firing him up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that. Go ahead, Jay.
I'm with you, Trey. Like, I think that there are certainly times where we've heard guys cross lines. That wasn't it at all. Because he did cook him. He didn't even lie. He didn't make anything up. Yeah. He was just like, hey, I'm reporting these facts here. Fine with me. You know, like, basketball is a shit talking sport. I don't understand why people want to take that out, especially because it is part of being competitive. You know,
how much money would
basketball?
How much money would the league make if you could, like, on demand a mic'd up player, like, pay-per-view for Draymond Green?
But there are too many reasons why you can't do it, obviously, you know what I mean, just for protecting the league and stuff, because we all know that it's not always as nice as what Jimmy Butler had to say.
They could make so much money.
Yo, I mean, legitimately, I would spend a lot for that league pass. Like, I would spend an obscene amount for that league pass. Now,
I think Draymond would be the one I'd want to listen to the most.
I mean, Draymond would be, like, now that Kevin Garnett's not around, you could do it. Because Kevin Garnett's a lot of shit. KG would have gotten the league canceled.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I mean, now you could do it. Now you could figure something out.
You basically have to burn the archives before, like, 2017, right? Like, that stuff can never see the light of day. Like, it's gone. It doesn't exist.
Jay, if let's say either the Celtics get the 7 or the 8 seed, right? Let's just say they don't completely fail in the play-in tournament. That means they're either going to get Philly, who has basically locked up the magic number for them is 1 at this point to lock up the 1 seed in the East. So hell, by the time I finish this sentence, they might have locked up the 1 seed. And then 2 seed is a slight lead for Brooklyn right now, but Milwaukee is a half game behind, and they have the tiebreaker. So it's either going to be, you know, Philly if they're the 8 seed, or Milwaukee or Brooklyn if they're the 2 seed. Is there any way you can see this, like, an upset coming? Because you still have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like, you still have and Kemba, right? Kemba can get hot and
punch your chance, man.
Yeah, you still got a puncher's chance, but a puncher's chance over a 7-game series is a lot tougher.
Yeah, I think of those 3 teams, I think they'd want to play the Sixers.
Oh,
whoa.
Because
they would have
the 3 best perimeter scorers in the whole series.
Man, the Embiid factor is so huge.
Oh, absolutely. And then they would have to plan
Embiid
like hell.
Would be like 40 a game.
Oh, yeah. They'd have to plan for Embiid to have 40.
Yeah, you have to go into that, like, be like, all right, we're eating 40 from Embiid tonight. Yeah. Right?
And nobody else can do anything. But then you realize Danny Green's out there, guys. It's trouble.
Man, I'm miss for this moment. I'm miss really, right now no, so I, much look, in this
I think
moment.
Philly, I just think Philly is so good. And Boston had, like, certainly they've got their strengths. I just don't think they've got enough for Philly. Philly's got too much. I mean, you know, Curry has been ridiculous this year. Ben Simmons,
he's so good. Seth Curry is so fucking good.
I mean, and then look at what they're able to do defensively. Like, when they roll Matisse Thybulle out there with Ben Simmons and Embiid, I mean, it's just, they're a lot, man. And I don't think that Boston has enough to overcome it. And would Tice have helped them? Probably not. But he definitely would have gotten them closer. It's just not, the gap is too large.
Yeah, but the other matchups are even more difficult. Like, maybe you want the Nets so you can sneak them when Harden isn't 100% or is just coming back. And they're still trying to figure some things out because Harden, Kyrie, and KD have hardly ever played against each other. But
and their center rotation is worse.
I think the Nets, when healthy, are the best team in the East. And I think Milwaukee, I think Giannis is just such a tough matchup because of how small the Celtics are. So, and obviously Embiid is similar, but, like, most teams have to double Embiid anyway. It's not just the Celtics in that regard. So I don't know. I think Philadelphia is the best matchup for them, but they certainly wouldn't be favored at all in any of those series. Absolutely not. Yeah. Not even close. So I don't expect them to beat any of those teams in the first round. Yeah. It could be an early vacation year for the kid.
I'm with you. Like, just based on everything you said, I'm with you. Like, I don't see the Heat losing in the East. So let's move on.
Are you back on the Heat train full?
When the fuck did I leave? That's an offensive question.
I'm with you after seeing Trevor Ariza today.
Oh, God.
I remember Zach wasn't high on that. Hey, Trev's been good, man. He's been a good plug-in, bro.
He has been. I'm just, I don't know that
Trevor Ariza shouldn't be that. The swing vote.
Yeah.
Shouts to T.A. though, man. Shouts to T.A. He gets slandered all the time. You know what I mean? Anytime he comes back to Phoenix.
Yeah.
You got to think about it. He parked it in Phoenix and then started looking good in Portland.
That was a brilliant move. That was a brilliant move.
I mean, Blake did the same thing, right? Like, Blake is doing the Trevor Ariza 2.0.
Just, hey, look, stay ready and get with the people that you want to get with. But, Zach, I know you fired up about this. Obviously, you know, South Beach Zach is always on call.
But I've decided
this 3-6 matchup.
Oh.
This 3-6 matchup between Miami and Milwaukee, bro. I love it because, for one, I feel like Miami always had a number. I feel like Milwaukee made all the moves that they wanted to make to get past this team. It was just kind of crazy because most people would be like, oh, Milwaukee's not worried about Miami. Oh, yes, they are. Yeah, they are. And this is not the first round matchup that they want, man. I'm telling you.
No, like,
we're going to see if the Bucks is for real or they not. And Bud might get the axe, bro, in the hands of Jimmy Butler and company.
Trey, that's the weird thing, right? I don't understand that report from Shams and Sam where it's like, yo, everything's all good. However, if they don't make a deep playoff run, he might be out. I'm like, then shit can't be all good.
Everything's great, bro.
Except for the parts
just
that aren't.
Just a whole lot of fucking pressure.
It's like, hey, it's fine unless you ain't.
Right. I'm kind of buying into this Milwaukee team a little bit. Like,
They're a lot better than they were in the past.
Drew's just a massive upgrade, right? Like, Drew's a massive upgrade at point. But I still got to see Bud. I'm more worried about Bud performing than anybody on that team.
Right.
And in a lot of that is because Spoelstra? Like, shit. Come on, man. Like,
that, you know, that Bucks team, one of their underrated qualities is how coachable everybody is. Like, you see it. Like, I mean, in this year in particular, like, where they've made all these changes, nobody griping. I mean, even at the beginning of the year, remember how weird it was for Giannis where the offense was clunky?
Yep.
He wasn't griping. And that's a great thing. It's cool, right? Like, I mean, this is one of the things that we loved about Spurs culture. But I worry that they don't have the guy in the locker room who is like Tim Duncan, who Tim Duncan on the bench is a great soldier, but he's also like the general.
Right.
I think PJ Tucker will light into those fools.
And that could be it, but, you know, is that the guy, like, does he have the standing? Can you have a guy who just came over at the trade deadline? You know what I mean? Like, do you need Giannis to do that? Is Chris Middleton going to do that? Is Drew doing that? Does that even matter? If Bud steps up and is able to actually overcome his own, I'm not going to say inadequacies, but let's say failures, because, you know, we watched them happen. If he can overcome those and just be that guy, then it's fine. He's got a great team for that because those guys are going to do what he asks.
Will he play Giannis and Middleton more than 32 minutes?
Well, I think that he doesn't have a choice there, right? Like, do you want to play Pat Connaughton 30 minutes?
Look, man, when you're down,
he's been good this year, but not that good.
When you're down 20 in the third quarter to Miami in every playoff game, you know, you got to rest those guys up. Got to give them next time.
But you know we're not even getting that matchup. We're going to wind up getting like Brooklyn, Atlanta, and the Knicks.
Actually, you're right. Like,
because the Heat are finally starting to get good.
Knicks Heat, I would like for that little rivalry to heat back up. No pun intended for once.
Jeff Van Gundy.
I'm in on that. Yeah, on the
I would not hate a Knicks Heat remix from, you know, 20 years ago.
That would be a grimy series. Yes. The Heat might win in four. But it would be a grimy series.
Every game was three or four points.
But I need Julius Randle to be like a more skilled Charles Oakley. Like, I need violence every time. Like, I feel like this Knicks team is good, but Julius Randle be the only person I feel like every game he'd be tripping.
Trey, Julius, Jimmy would be like... That would be so
It would be great because he would tell him he's not shit. Right. You feel me? Like,
they just kind of show RJ Barrett, Anthony Mason tape for like two straight weeks.
But it's so crazy because, like, I feel like the Knicks be like in the mix. He'll have like four fouls and then he just loses it and World Wide West has to come and console him. Like, yo, calm down. Like, if he plays with an edge and gets everybody else to stop being nice guys, I think we can get that rivalry back because this Knicks team is actually like, you know, the only pit bull is Julius Randle. Everybody else is like really likable, mannerable. Like,
you ain't gonna see
Derrick Rose getting out of character, like yelling at somebody or nothing like that. He gonna just be meek and he gonna make the shot, get back, don't say nothing to nobody. Taj might say something if he feeling it. RJ starting to get a little more comfortable. you know what I'm saying, to the point of like being vocal, but like maybe Elfrid Payton. I'm thinking about guys that's just really just kind of gutta.
Yeah, I don't think Taj, but, like Taj, maybe, Taj would step in, right? But he's not going to start anything. Right, like Taj is, but like he'll step to Jimmy if Jimmy
just get
gets
the heat to re-sign PJ Brown and solve all this, right? Like we can jumpstart this whole thing if they just do that.
Here's the thing, Zach and Dave. Maybe if the Knicks look at any other team in the playoffs as the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh.
Okay. You know how Nate Robinson pictured everybody to be Mike D'Antoni? Yeah. If they could do that and look at everybody as a Brooklyn Nets, it could be feisty. That's also, it could be a feisty series.
Trey, that's wild that Nate Robinson was like, you're Mike D'Antoni in front of me. That's such a wild, like, what was the, like, Bobby Portis, wasn't his, like, his pre-draft interview or something like that? He was like, I just picture the guy in front of me has just hit my mom or something like that. Like he said something like that. And it was,
I was there for that.
Oh, were you?
I was there for that. And I was like, man, this is uncomfortable.
That's a wild one.
And he just said it casually. But like it worked. Like it wasn't anything. Yeah. And I was like, damn, this
cashed out. Yeah.
This dude really digs deep for some emotion when it comes to games. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. The cartoonish version of that is Nate Robinson picturing everyone as 60-year-old Mike D'Antoni. Just trying to destroy. All right. It's time. We need to unleash Jay King on this. David Griffin had some comments this past week after it was announced. I believe it's the ring finger on Zion's left hand that has a fracture. And so David Griffin came out and essentially said, like, this is a result of the league not protect, like, we've been warning them that it's too physical against Zion. We've been warning them that they need to you know, officiate him better and protect him. And now this has happened. And then I don't know if you guys follow Brian Suter, who's a doctor who does a great job, like doing a lot of these injury breakdowns and stuff. He works at a very prestigious hospital. So he's legit. He like quote tweeted that quote and was like, yeah, from everything I watched, you can see the play where it happened. He went over, like, he's trying to grab a rebound. He just jammed his finger on the basketball. Well, he broke it.
But Zach, this is the first time anybody's broken a finger playing basketball, man. And for it's sure, clearly because they're just letting him hammer Zion in the back and the ribs. And you know how susceptible fingers are to breaking when guys are getting fouled in the back and
100%. You know,
the body.
Yeah. This is a result. This is wear and tear.
Cut that shit out. Cut it out.
I'm not even saying that they're not physical with them, but guys break fingers all the time. Like that's a bad time to point that out. And clearly, like, we've all talked about this at one point or another, that as Zion becomes more and more dominant, he's going to go to the line more. I mean, he really is like Shaquille O'Neal in that respect, where he's so big and he creates so much contact that's legal.
For sure.
That he is going to be officiated differently. But the truth of the matter is...
that thing goes both ways, though, bro.
Exactly. Like, if they start swinging
People's sternums and, like, it's unfair to say that Zion has to play a certain style that's not basketball, because it is basketball and he can't control how he's naturally gifted in size and ability. But to an extent of, like, you know, before this fine, Steve Van Gundy, SVJ basically, bro, was saying, like, that these calls need to be made every time, you know, that he drives. And it's like, now you're really putting the pressure on the refs. It's kind of similar to, like, when James Harden would drive and stick his arm out. Mm-hmm. And you really have to watch it so close to see if a guy really got caught reaching in that situation. And it's the same thing with Zion, like, he's attacking the rim at full speed, whatever. Guys are doing whatever they do. But to just claim that, if y'all would have been caught blowing the whistle prematurely before, his finger wouldn't have been broken? Like, it's not a mafia movie where they grabbed his arm, turned his head, and snapped his finger and was like, all right, we're not going to call a foul. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, this is part of the game.
He shoots nine.
Hand his ball. If you grew up playing ball, hand his ball.
That's a real rule. Like, he's shooting almost 10 free throws per 36 minutes, and he's called for less than 2.5 personal fouls per 36 minutes.
I think it's tough to get called for fouls when you ain't playing any defense.
Well, yes, but that's true. We just talked about his physicality. And I'm not saying that he doesn't get hit, because he definitely does. I mean, we watch it with LeBron, too, and it will take a while for referees to kind of adjust to him.
For sure.
Because that's what it actually takes. But, I mean, this is his second year in the league.
He didn't break his finger over this.
Yeah. Like,
that's not, this was just...
It's a lot.
I feel Griffin on this.
Oh, boy.
On the fact that Zion creates contact, needs to be refereed differently probably than almost any player.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to draw a lot of free throws. Maybe doesn't draw enough free throws as it is, even though he, like Dave said, he gets 9 a game. It's not like he doesn't go at all. But
he probably should
shoot
more, right? But
this was the single most outrageous complaint I have ever seen in the NBA. The guy had a fluke injury, and Griffin used it to launch into his year-long complaints about the refs and pretended like Zion Williamson jamming his finger on a basketball had something to do with a year of wear and tear of the egregious no calls against him. David Griffin, stop it.
You know what? Let me tell you, I think this is smart. Because we know that they're already worried, hey, Zion has a contract coming up in a few years. We got to kiss his butt now. And I'm not necessarily saying that's all this. We know how working the refs through the media works, and it does work often. But I think that having a situation where you've got your star player and he sees the organization kind of going for his back or having his back in this instance, there's nothing wrong with that. I get it. And you probably eat the $50,000 fine just for the goodwill.
But is that really the way to keep a guy? To make an outrageous claim about his broken finger?
I have no idea. But I think if you've got a Zion Williamson, you're going to try everything. So if he gets a hangnail and we start hearing about how, you know, it's because of the back-to-backs or something like that, we will know that this is the plan.
Well, also,
here's how you need to keep Zion. Give him a better roster. Give him some shooting around. Yeah. Make his life easier that way instead of making outlandish claims.
They're one of the worst defenses in NBA history. I don't think offense is the problem here,
that
guys.
Too.
Like,
but that's mostly on him. A lot of that is on him.
No.
Very much contributes to that bad defense.
For sure, but he also has veterans on that team who should play better defense. Like Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams are on that team. You should not be that bad defensively. Right? Like, you just shouldn't. And so it's
Stan
everyone.
Van Gundy coaches a team.
But this is the thing we do here, right? Is like, wow, he's not winning. He's not playing defense. Yo, he's played 80 games in his career. 80. We're already expecting a total package. I'm not saying he can't be better, but I think like for some weird reason, the defense of Zion has been like overly criticized through his first like basically full season of basketball.
And I think it's all rookies, but in particular with Zion, because we had expectations for him defensively.
Right? Yeah.
Like we saw some just absolutely jaw-dropping stuff out of him. Blocking threes when he's standing under the basket as the guy's catching the ball. You know, that kind of stuff. And clearly a lot of that was just supreme athleticism and things of that nature. And the NBA just takes a while. Look at DeAndre Ayton. Remember when he was drafted and people were like, this guy is never going to be able to defend in the NBA. He looks okay right now.
Yeah, he's not bad.
So I just think that young players in general need time. And as long as we stay in the moment, we say, hey, Zion right now doesn't give you the effort he needs to give. He's not very good at doing these things. I think it's fine to call him out on that. And I don't think that you're saying that it isn't. But we probably do go a little bit too hard expecting a second-year player to be anything close to an anchor of a defense in the league.
Yeah,
right? Like you got to be an otherworldly guy to do that.
I think why it's maybe more fair to critique him than the average rookie is that a lot of it seems to be, or was at least initially in his career, that he just wasn't in shape.
Yeah.
And that's on him.
Without context, though, it's not on him. That look, man, he's got, there are physical limitations. Remember, he had the knee issue. Remember, he had this the issue at Duke. Remember when he blew up his shoe? So he's had things that have held him back from getting into shape. And let's be honest, none of us have any kind of idea what it's like to be built like that. I don't know. Like, can that guy get into elite, like, conditioning?
I don't want to be built like that.
Right?
No, man.
Yeah. So we don't know what the physical limitations of his type of body are. Yeah.
He walks
and
like
how
Greg
it
Oden.
Translates to the NBA.
He walks like Greg Oden. I mean, I wouldn't want to be built like
that. So even
the physical
the
limitations
stuff.
Of being the most athletic man alive.
Like, yeah, but at 280, man, that's
right.
That's a lot.
I mean, like the Incredible Hulk, right? Like you watch the Incredible Hulk on a movie or whatever. It looks awesome. but also like that's a lot of weight to move.
I just watched Thanos. How strong are those ligaments? Ass, man, Incredible Hulk's soft. Completely soft. Plus he had like Hulk Hulk erectile dysfunction and shit in that movie, right? He couldn't even get green.
I'm not familiar with the Hulk story, and I didn't know it included that.
Yeah. But Hulk often has performance anxiety.
Yeah.
GetRoman.com/NBA show.
If they're a sponsor. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
They have been in the past.
But the thing is, look, and I'm not saying that you know, when we do this, we can't treat him like other guys and we can't say, hey, he needs to be in better shape. Because certainly that's going to be a part of the critique. Let me look at Nikola Jokic. That guy is 7 feet tall and obviously not just a natural athlete, at least as we perceive it. And now he's in the best shape of his career at age 26. So, you know, maybe we just need to give this guy some time and maybe he will find a way to be in better condition and that'll help him on the defensive end. But he may never be able to do that, right? Like his body type just might not allow it. And we need to maybe adjust our expectations along the way. But hopefully he finds a way to be able to contribute and play more games. I mean, this year he played 61 games so far. That's not bad. That's pretty good.
That's more than almost anyone else.
Yeah.
Right.
But you have to look at it too, like Joel Embiid. Remember how we used to be like, oh, if Joel can only play 80 games,
well, Embiid, you know, he'll be good. Missed a bunch of games this year, right? And so, you know, and Porzingis is one of these guys who, like, I think Porzingis is probably like a 60, 65 game player, you know, as we watch his career go. I don't think Zion's going to be one of those guys. I think he could wind up being durable. It's just that looking at what he is now as this relatively undeveloped, I mean, just, you know, human body, not just as a player, but just his physical conditioning at 21 years old or whatever, he's going to be completely different in 4 or 5 years. So I think that this is going to be a slow burn for Zion, but the skill is there and all of the other, the hard to get stuff is already there. If the physical stuff comes along and he gets that Miami Heat style conditioning, which I would say teams probably worry about him going to a place like Miami where they actually sell him on the idea, hey, we're going to get you in the best shape of your life.
Yeah, but so, also, like, is it like that's a minimum of like 6 years away?
Oh, right? Yeah, no, he's not leaving. Like, no one
leaves after the rookie
deal. I also
deal,
know
right?
that just, the discourse, and I'm probably, maybe I'm overly sensitive to it because I just can't stand it when we start talking about a guy who signs a contract and immediately it's like, hey, now the clock is ticking. So I do bring it up a lot, but I do think that there is a part of that, especially if you're New Orleans, you just went through the Anthony Davis stuff. I do think that in the back of your mind, you're probably already thinking that way.
For sure. Just don't be incompetently run for 7 years of his career.
Right.
Or you'll be good.
Well, and they've got money issues coming up already because, you know, Ingram's extension is already kicked in. You've got that Adams contract. You're going to hopefully, I'm assuming they're going to try to move.
Yeah.
So, things are moving along fast. Lonzo's got a contract situation. I mean, you know, the Pelicans, it just feels like they kind of went into fast forward.
Yeah. But now you're not paying all that money to Drew Brees. Like they'll be fine. You know,
Drew Brees. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah,
it's the same company, right?
Yeah. Or Drew Holiday.
Not making all that money from Drew Brees either.
Right, exactly. That's true. Yeah. Now you can. Well, he was probably using some of that. Didn't he run a pyramid scheme or something? That might be libel. I don't know. I just remember there was some weird story that Mina Kimes wrote about Drew Brees in like some kind of like company that maybe wasn't on the up and up. But
you sure, this isn't like, Tom Brady.
Well, no, we know Tom. You know, Tom. Okay. We know Touchdown Tom is grifting people left and right. We know that's happening.
No. I won't allow slander of Tom Brady.
Jay King's all about the TB12 system.
He's about to be about it's the never McCorkle failed. Jones system next.
Mac Jones. Real quick
before we don't ever do that again.
Mac Jones.
Sorry, that guy's name is please. McCorkle.
His middle name is McCorkle. It's Michael McCorkle Jones. That's where the Mac comes from. McCorkle. I'm not making that up. That's a real thing.
Man, I'd be so mad if I could have been Michael McDonald.
Oh,
whatever. And I was Michael Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Awful.
McCorkle is the middle name of legends, boys.
Sure. Well, I don't know what that means. But before we go, anybody else notice that the Thunder are worse than the Sam Hinkie Trust the Process Sixers? Does anybody notice this? Like,
man, they leaned in hard.
They still won a beat bunch of games in the first half of the season, and now, like, they legitimately have a worse net rating for the season. than like those tanking trust the process Sixers.
They've Al been Horford's got the best job in the world times. Right now.
Like Shea Gilgeous has been out with a foot injury for like, I don't know, since the trade deadline. They sent Al Horford home, and then they sent George Hill to Philly. Something's going on up there.
Well, yeah, you know, they had to clear the way and let Poku just, you know, cook, right? Like, if you want to tank, that's how you do it. You say, hey, like, lanky 7-foot 18-year-old guy, come lead our offense.
I was having this argument the other day about whether the Magic, as currently constructed with some of their injuries, or the Thunder are the worst team in the NBA right now. I think it's the Magic.
No, I think it's the Thunder.
The Thunder actually have some legit NBA rotation players. Like, I think Lou Dort is definitely a rotation player.
Sure.
He can be a defensive weapon.
Yeah.
I think Ty Jerome can be a rotation player. Ty. They've got to have another
one. Are you stuck at two?
They've got to have another one.
I mean, Darius Maledon is going to be a pretty good player, I think. I think Baisley's good. Yet. No, I mean, they're
Baisley can play in a rotation.
I would say, and Jay, and correct me if I'm wrong here. No, are you saying terrible. That just Speed's Oklahoma terrible. City has more hope than Orlando versus actually like would win a game right now?
No, I'm saying right now, if you played a 7-game series between the Magic and
Orlando
the Thunder,
would sweep them.
Yeah, Orlando would win that.
But Orlando's got a lot of injuries. Like
yeah, but Cole Anthony would probably score like 25 a game against those guards.
No, Lou Dort would lock his ass up.
Look, they lose by 47 every night. Like, I don't think he's locking anybody right now.
Yeah.
Lou would everybody shackles Cole Anthony. He gets points, but it's like on 35% shooting.
Who's stopping Mo Bamba and Mo Wagner?
Taco Fall put Mo Bamba in a blender. That was one of my favorite moments.
I gotta tell you, that's
season.
When I gave up on Mo Bamba. I was hopeful. After the Vooch trade, I was like, here we go. Yeah. It took me until then. I was still holding
on. He's so cool. I'm with you, Zach.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I was still in, and then Taco Fall put him in a blender. I was like, well, there goes that.
Well, you know, if Mo Bamba winds up in Miami, I think, Zach, you'll be back on board.
Oh, anybody goes to Miami, we're here, except for that Tyler Hero haircut. I don't even know what it was. It was late Christmas. That's what it was. Now we've both.
That's why they didn't
Jay.
Trade him to Houston, because they knew that cut was coming.
They knew the cut was coming. And Tilman Fertitta said, "Not on my team. There's no way."
Well, he didn't want somebody with the same haircut as him on the team.
Exactly. There's only one cowboy in that town. All right, we can end this. Thanks for subscribing to this show. Make sure you rate and review on all the Apple Podcast feeds to juice the system. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, do all that crap. Subscribe to The Athletic, best coverage of sports, and we have everything you need for these NBA playoffs coming up. So subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you're getting the best coverage. For Jay King, for Trevon Edwards, for Dave DeFore, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.